Hey everybody, welcome back to The Fin Factor. I'm Paul.
And I'm Aaron.
This is episode number 211, and Aaron, just when we thought that we were done with the regular season, they just suck you right back in.
Thought we were in for a good break.
It's a good two-day break.
2 days later.
I mean, is it even 48 hours? I don't even think so.
No.
The Sharks have announced that they have fired coach David Quinn after 2 years of his three-year contract, so leaving 1 year on the table, but moving on from David Quinn. We have our thoughts about this, obviously, and we're going to get to that in just a second here. But again, I just want to remind you guys, normally we'd be going out on a Monday and having a show. Today, obviously, Wednesday. If you were subscribed, you got the notification. You knew that we were coming on live. So if you're not subscribed, please make sure you do that, because we don't know what else is going to be happening on what random days and when we're going to be able to hop in. So good idea for you guys. Hit that button. Hit the bell. You'll know when we're coming live and you can join the chat, which we actually have a lot going on in the chat, including Peter St. John with a $10 super chat. Oh, thanks, lots Peter. Of bells. Lots thank of bells. Yeah, Peter St. John, thank you so much. I do appreciate you supporting the show. Let's see what he says. I just looked up the average NHL head coach last 2.4 years. Are we suggesting that any coach could come in and make a substantial difference with the roster Quinn had at his disposal? Sorry for screwing you up there, Peter St. John, at the end. But again, thank you for the $10 super chat. Aaron, I want to get your thoughts on this, but I also wanted to put something up that I had put on Facebook, actually, days before this happened.
Okay,
would you like first?
Let's hear it. Let's hear you the want Facebook comment.
Pulstradamus? Can we get the Pulstradamus tweet? Now, first thing I want to point out here is right underneath the name, it does say top contributor. That's me.
Oh,
I contribute. Bing, there it is. I said, someone was asking about firing Quinn. What I said was, while I don't put any of the previous season's failures squarely or solely on Quinn, if we do draft Celebrini and Smith is ready to go and other prospects start taking roster spots, then I think it wouldn't be a bad idea to swap Quinn out simply because so many are just starting and will be with the team longer term as their rights will be owned by San Jose for several years. Wouldn't be a bad idea to have a new, young group that can't go anywhere else aside from a trade get led by a new coach who will be with them from the start. All that in just two sentences. Miss Miller would be very upset with us, or me at least.
Very upset.
So, there you go. That was a pretty good run-on sentence, though.
Yeah.
Not bad. Regardless, grammar aside, yeah, I think that that's basically what happened here, is that perhaps 2 years in, it's going a little bit more according to plan than Greer originally thought it was going to. I feel like the 3 years that he gave him was, again, this demo phase. We talked about this last episode, right? Breaking things down. You need somebody behind the bench, right? And Quinn was that guy. I put none of the failures on Quinn, okay? But I think that maybe it made sense to move on from him in light of the fact that the trades that Greer has made brought in some guys who he thinks maybe are going to be pushing for those jobs. And rather than have Quinn go 1 year with Musty and Will Smith and Mook Medulin and potentially Celebrini, joining the team and then firing him or not re-signing his contract, right, re-upping it, and then bringing somebody else in, why not just do that now, bring in a new coach that can be with them from the beginning, grow with the team as the young core is coming in? I think it makes sense.
I agree. I think it's a fresh start for both the team and the new players coming in. Just looking at the roster, there's only seven forwards that finished the season that are coming back, that are at least signed, that I'm not including the RFAs that will probably get signed, but seven for sure that are coming back. That's a lot of holes to fill, and I think Greer, from what he sounded like, he's going to go to free agency and spend some of that money. So the roster is going to look a lot different. It's not like you're replacing one or two guys and you're having the same message in there and you're just, you know, I don't know, the same old kind of thing. This is a fresh start, a new coach that's going to come in. Who knows how much the staff is going to stay, the coaching staff, because as of now, the assistant coaches are not fired, but they are given permission to talk to other teams just in case. And most likely what happens, new head coach comes in and doesn't want to keep them. He wants to bring his own guys in. So that's what you're saying, though, is I think spot on here, where there's going to be a lot of new faces, and new younger faces of the prospects that are going to be joining the team, hopefully joining the team, at least have an opportunity to join the team. And they talked a lot about, you know, culture and winning culture and That was a big theme in some of the exit interviews that they had on Saturday about how the Sharks have not, obviously, have not won a lot in the last two seasons. In fact, David Quinn's coaching at the San Jose Sharks, it was a 3.26 win percentage. So there's the win percentage of the Sharks the last two seasons. That's not good. Pretty abysmal. So I think bringing in a new head coach, bringing in a new culture, setting the standard for everybody, even the returning players, because at that point, you're kind of losing the room, right? Your voice isn't being heard as well anymore. You kind of roll your eyes a little bit, and you're like, okay, I'm tired of hearing this guy talk and whatever. You could see some bad habits starting to form. They weren't getting the message because they weren't working hard. They weren't doing things that, you know, he keeps preaching and wanting them to do. So fresh slate, why not? I think for me, what I was happy about, and I wasn't expecting this to happen, the timing of it, I think, is great because it was quick. It wasn't dragged on. It wasn't like Bob Bugner, who had no idea if he was going to be hired or brought back on or let go, because at that time Greer took over and the interim GM did not fire him. So he kind of got hung out to dry and missed out on being able to sign with other teams. So at least Quinn will, he's got a year left on his contract, so he's going to get paid. So he's not, don't feel too bad for the guy. He gets paid to sit on his butt this year. So I'm sure he'll land on his feet, probably take some time and relax and do some fun stuff. There you go. Go ahead.
I want to call out right here is Zach Crofts on the screen. It says Bruce Boudreau, I think is how you say it, but Boudreau. For the next head coach, hashtag Bruce, there it is. First of all, I chuckled at the hashtag in my head. Aaron shaking his head. So I say good on you, Zach. But regardless, Aaron, this is going to be the next big thing to talk about, I think, is who's going to replace. Now, I do want to call out Brycar with the comment on the screen just now that said, very well said, Paul. Thank you, Brycar. You're one of my favorites. And you elevated your status by commenting there, right there. So thank you. back
top
to
commenter. top commenter.
Top contributor. So coaches that could potentially replace him, it seems like, and there's an older article maybe a year ago as rising stars. One of the guys is actually the current assistant coach. Is it Ryan Warsawski?
Yeah.
So he is already with the Sharks. Now, they've not been let go, as you said, correct?
Correct.
So it could very well be that as a rising star in the world of NHL coaching, maybe this is where he gets his opportunity. But that's a lot of first-timers with a coach becoming a head coach in the NHL for the first time and players playing in the NHL for the first time. I don't know if you want that mix necessarily as the next step for your franchise. And we have a couple other guys that maybe we think about. Obviously, Bruce Boudreau, Zach saying being one of them. But what are your thoughts maybe on just sticking with the guys that they have right now that didn't get let go?
I don't know. I wouldn't mind bringing in someone fresh just to start from scratch. I mean, there's kind of benefits of both. Obviously, Ryan has been with the team for the last 2 years with Quinn's staff, so he knows the players, and maybe he runs a different system. It doesn't have to be the same system. I just don't know. I mean, I'm not in that locker room, so I don't know how much he actually talks or if he's just in the background and kind of hanging out. So maybe it could be a good fit. I mean, he's supposedly a very hot commodity because of his record of bringing up a couple teams in ECHL, and I think I forgot what the other league was, but the Chicago Wolves is the other one. And he has a winning pedigree just at different levels of hockey. So he knows what he's doing. He's young. He's only 35, I think. I mean, that's young for a coach, I guess, not for a player, but I don't know. I wouldn't be opposed to it, I guess. I don't really have a favorite either. I mean, we were just talking about before this who we'd want. The other one that I think it would be a little bit more interesting is the Penguins coach, Mike Sullivan, former Shark player, who he's not fired yet. He's on the hot seat in Pittsburgh, so who knows if he will get fired in the coming days because they missed the playoffs. But I do think it's kind of funny how NHL coaches work because they get fired and they just kind of do musical chairs and go to another team, right?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, well, you didn't work out over there, but you could work out here.
Right.
So Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to that either, and I think he's a good coach. So, but again, whatever. I don't really have any favorites here.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be a great story having Mike Sullivan as the head coach of this team. You know, again, it's we got knocked out by the Pittsburgh Penguins while he was coaching it, right?
Yep.
So it'd be kind of interesting to bring him back into the fold again, a former Shark player as a head coach. GM'd by a former Shark player. That would be a pretty interesting, fun story, right? So, but then again, once Sullivan, if you were to bring any head coach, frankly, you bring anybody else in, they're going to want their own staff. So
yes.
When you're talking about Ryan Warsawski being a hot commodity, we'd be letting him walk if not, if the head coach doesn't want his own staff, which he would, and he doesn't just become the head coach, then you're kind of letting that guy walk. So I don't know if that's necessarily the best idea either. So certainly options for Mike Greer to kind of figure out for himself. There was actually another one, and I see you put him up here. There was another player, Sharks player, that could be in contention for the job as well. So fire away.
Did he play for the Sharks?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did he?
Yeah, man. He did.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. It's been a hot minute. Go ahead.
Joel Ward
yep.
is another one that's... He right now is currently a Silver Knight. Was the Silver Knights assistant coach, and now he's on the Golden Knights. So
right.
It was their AHL affiliate. So he's currently on the coaching staff, and yes. He is another favorite of a potential head coach, not for the Sharks, but just in general for the entire NHL for teams that are looking for coaches. Real quick, there was a funny comment in here from Grandizer.
Yes.
We lost two sound clips for the show this year, Hurdle and Quince.
And isn't that the real tragedy here?
Yes. Our show. That's the tragedy. Is our show. First of all, we can't do those anymore.
We can't do We Just Stunk.
Yes.
We can't
There's a lot of We Just Stunk comments.
Right?
Here, yeah.
We can't do the Welshang. If I knew that, we can't do that one anymore. Yeah. We can't do that one, right?
Yep. Yep.
All right. Well, we just got to dig deeper, I guess.
I guess.
Is what it is.
We'll have him back for the next season.
Next season, we'll have him back?
Yeah. We'll have new clips next season.
Oh, okay. Yeah, good.
There's a lot of talking here, too. Let's do quick. Roll call.
Yes.
Let's do the roll call. Tell us, what city are you watching from, and who is your favorite for the next head coaching position at the San Jose Sharks?
So we've gone through a couple options here, and obviously, if you guys have other names that you want to call out, please go right ahead. But... who is your favorite? Who is the one that you're looking at going, you know what? I really like this one.
I don't really have any favorites. I'm not really like... I mean, I guess Mike Sullivan.
Okay.
But he's not even on the market yet.
Right,
so I don't even know if that's even an option. So I think... I don't know. It's funny because Warsawski is like apparently a hot commodity. Everybody wants this guy as an NHL head coach. He might be... regardless if the Sharks didn't make him head coach and he was still an assistant... there might be teams out there trying to get them as his head coach.
Yeah.
And then what if he starts winning and is some kind of genius on some other team?
And you had him.
Right, exactly. And he didn't promote him.
Yep.
That's like, that's a hard I don't know, decision to make, right?
I think you've already got him. I think to me that's probably the best option is, unless there was something about him that didn't sit well with Mike Greer. Unless there was something about it that, you know, you go and you interview him after the fact, okay, if I put you at the head seat here, what are you going to be doing differently? Or what is your philosophy? What is your strategy? What are you planning on doing? If there's something in there that just does not jive with what Mike Greer wants from this group, then okay, fine, you move on. Doesn't matter if he has success somewhere else. If that's not what you're looking for out of your team, which sounds weird to say he's not looking for success, but I'm just saying if his plan doesn't line up, right, then, okay, yeah, sure, let him walk, and he can go be successful somewhere else. That's fine. But I think, like you said, you already got him here. He's already here. All you have to do is promote him, right? There's no searching for anything else. So unless there's a reason that he doesn't like him for some reason, then I would just go with him.
You know, it's funny. I don't know if there's ever been a Sharks coach that left the Sharks and won a cup somewhere else. Has there?
That is a good question.
Pete DeBoer's been to the finals.
Yeah, I was going to say DeBoer's probably the closest. Well, was McClellan?
McClellan didn't win in L.A.
I don't think so.
He was with Edmonton at the time that L.A. had won.
Yeah, I don't think so.
There's some interesting comments in here.
Go ahead.
David Carl, Denver University. He's former Shark Matt Carl's brother. He's head coach at Denver University, who just won NCAA title 2 in the last 3 years, right?
Yeah, that was the other thing I was thinking was, okay, who's the Boston College coach? Who's the Boston University coach? And who's Denver's coach? That's what I was thinking also was it'd be pretty interesting to go the college route. But I imagine that if you go that route, you're probably, I mean, much like we just talked about with Joel Ward, he was an assistant coach with the Silver Knights before he became an assistant coach with the Golden Knights. You don't just make that jump to being a head coach, right?
No, you could.
I mean,
Quinn did.
Quinn did?
He was the Boston College coach. Okay. Then he went to the Rangers.
As the head coach.
Oh, I can't remember what he did in between.
And how well did that work out?
Well, better than the Sharks.
But then he went to the Sharks.
He had a 522 win percentage overall the 3 years that he was in New York.
Yeah. Probably had a little more talent in New York to work with, though.
Yeah, but they didn't. So the year that he got fired, they got Lafreniere, first overall pick. Mm-hmm. After he got fired. So he helped them get the first overall pick. So now he comes into San Jose.
And helps us get the first.
Helps us get the first overall
pick. Well, maybe the first overall.
I got that from Nick. I'm not going to steal that from you, Nick. He told me that earlier. Oh, like, yeah. All right, so.
So if you're a horrible team and you're looking for that first overall pick, David Quinn's on the market. He's your man.
There's Sullivan is in here. Tortorella. Who's coaching right now in Philly?
Ben, no! Ben's in Thailand. I don't know what you're doing in Thailand, but hey, that's awesome. Thanks for tuning in. But no, Paul for head coach. If you really want this team to go 0-82, then yes, I'm your man. But
there's Patrick Marleau in here, Marco Sturm, which I just mentioned earlier. Let's see, Jumbo and Patty.
You guys are going nostalgia picks, but they don't have like head coaching experience.
Yeah. Don't even have coaching experience in general.
Like, I like them. I like them as guys that are around the rink. I like them as guys that are going to help the younger guys develop. Development, not even like coaches, but just kind of like personnel. Guys that are there to help out, right?
Oh, Woodcroft. I forgot, Daryl Sutter did win a cup with the Kings. He was the Kings coach, right?
Yes.
So there's one.
There's one. Daryl Sutter, you're right. Yes. Yeah. Oh, was that a comment?
Yeah.
Who said that?
Where is it? Grandizer.
Grandizer.
Sutter got a Kings of Cup and the Sharks could not go all the way.
Yeah, I want to give credit where credit's due there.
Drew Remenda is coach now. Drew was an assistant coach.
He was.
With the Sharks early on. I don't think he's coached since. I think he's been an announcer or a color commentator.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting choices. Now, I did say Marco Sturm because Marco Sturm is coaching. I don't know lately who he's coaching. He might be over here now.
I thought he was with the Kings.
Yeah, I thought he was at NHL now, right?
Yeah, yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, he was coaching Germany's team.
National team.
National team,
I knew that.
Yeah, yeah. But that was a while ago, though. I don't know how long. Yeah, yeah. But he's got some experience, I guess is the point, right? So, I mean, it could be. Who knows? I don't think they're going to go that route personally, but I mean, it'd be another cool story to have a former Shark player being the head coach again under a former Shark player as a GM. But
he coached the Kings for 4 seasons, assistant coach for the Kings for 4 seasons. The last 2 years, he's been the head coach of the Ontario Reign in the AHL. So now he's got head coaching experience, not assistant coaching. So I definitely would put him, I'd throw him in the ring.
Yeah?
Yeah, I would. Because I remember when 2 years ago, I want to say he interviewed for the job. I can't remember. I think he did. And he made it pretty far, but he didn't have head coaching experience. And that was 2 years ago when he went to go be head coach in the Ontario Reign.
Yeah.
Which is the Kings affiliate.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that is interesting. Maybe he has a shot now. Maybe at least an interview.
I think a lot of guys have a shot at an interview. Another name that kind of got brought up actually was Peter Laviolette. I'm not sure where he is or what, because what we were looking at, I think, was probably from a year ago. But if he was available, that's another guy that teams tend to like Peter Laviolette for their first couple of years. I remember him, I think it was in Nashville, when they were on the downturn. He came in, kind of turned things around right away, and then he left.
Another good coach,
yes. Yeah, another really good coach. So, but I think whoever it is, it would be great to have somebody who's got some experience with the younger players, getting them to a point where they're really focused on development. Now, Mike Greer has already put a lot into development, so maybe you don't need to have a coach specifically that does that, but you've got other development coaches around it. So I think that's going to help them out more than anything else is having those guys around.
Peter St. John, I don't know if this is a joke. Oh, he just said, just kidding. Okay. No. He said, what about Mike Babcock?
No,
he's done. He will never coach the NHL again. Yes, he was the head coach of the German Olympic team. Quenville, same thing. I don't know if the Q stash will be welcomed back in the NHL, especially because of what happened with Babcock. I feel like he's just blacklisted. Those two guys are kind of blacklisted. I don't. He might just be done. Dean Evason or Joel Ward.
Yeah.
I don't know who Dean Evason is. Do you know?
I forget Dean Evason. I remember we talked about Joel Ward a little bit earlier. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of names you could throw around out there. It's just a matter of, you know, Mike Greer is going to have to take a look and talk to all these guys and really kind of understand what it is that is their plan, what it is their philosophy, all that, mm-hmm. and then kind of see if that jives with the team that he thinks he's going to be putting together. Again, for me, it's almost a little bit promising and kind of intriguing that Quinn did get fired again, just because is this kind of... Does Mike Greer think that he's farther along in this rebuild than he thought he was going to be when he signed Quinn? Because he signed him to 3 years, he's firing him after two, and he wants a new coach in. So does he think that he's accelerated enough that absolutely. It's like, hey, we're ready to go?
Yes.
Okay, so then that timeline of potentially being playoff ready in 2 to 3 years, that was my guess.
This is rock bottom.
Yeah.
Like, the team will absolutely. Not be this bad absolutely. Next year. With the amount of salary cap space that he's freed up in the last just two seasons...
Yeah,
is unreal. So, and the amount of players that their contracts are expiring, they're already going to be let go. There's a lot of space and a lot of up and coming guys that are ready to possibly make the jump to the NHL. Smith, Musty.
Yeah.
Now, I was thinking about this on the way over here. Do you think today's news is the bad news, and tomorrow is we just signed Will Smith to an entry-level contract.
Okay.
Soften the blow a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Give some good news out there.
You can't say we signed Will Smith and then say we fired the coach. You got to do it the other way around. Yeah.
After that news cycle finishes, it's a new cycle of, hey, Will Smith is signed and he's going to be coming to training camp next year.
Well, guys, we'll see you on Friday, I guess.
I know. It's going to be a long week.
Aaron and Paul will soon be divorced.
Yeah. Oh, man. So yeah, no, definitely that would be it would be nice to have that. They could, you know, the poop sandwich where you have something good, bad in the middle, and then good, right? I'm trying to stay PC. I'm trying to stay family friendly here.
Yeah.
But it's usually you say something good, you say the bad news, and then you throw another good thing in there. This might be the bad part that's kind of sandwiched with the
Don
nice good thing.
Cherry. That is another blacklisted. There's no way he will ever coach again. He's too old for one.
Yeah.
But that guy is.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah, I'm not even going to say it. He's no.
Malachi, you're trolling.
Yeah.
Even the hurdle trade makes sense now. I'd like to know what Rob Spittler means by that specifically.
Probably the cap space, freeing up that much cap. So that's $8 million gone.
Sure.
Well, I guess it retained a little bit of it, but still. Now, a lot of people I saw earlier were talking about Vlasic getting bought out. I don't think that's going to happen. The Sharks don't need the cap space, so there's no reason to prolong that cap space savings that you'd be getting for the buyout, projecting it out over the years when you will need that cap space. He's got two more seasons left at $7 million. They're not going to be competing for... They're not going to be a cap team in 2 years.
Yeah.
I'll say that. So it's not like they'll be hurting for the cash or the cap space in 2 years where they shouldn't have him on the team. There's absolutely no way they're going to buy him out. So they just let him play out the rest of that contract. He's going to retire as a Shark. Maybe he retires before that's over.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
So two more seasons for Vlasic. I don't think they're going to be able to move him because they can't retain any salary. So unless it's a dump where we're taking on an equally bad contract the other way, I just don't see anything happening with Vlasic.
See, and that was one of my bigger problems with the Hurdle trade. Yes, it's Tomáš Hurdle, and I don't want him to get moved. But the fact that you're retaining some salary, A, it helps the team that you hate, right? Because now they have even more salary cap space to do the stupid thing that they've been doing, with Mark Stone, which is ridiculous.
So yeah, everyone knows what they're doing.
I know.
There's going to be a rule change for that, guaranteed.
You think?
Yes.
I don't know. We're 3 years running now. When is the NHL going to get the clue?
All you have to do is say, if you don't play in the last week of the regular season, you can't play the first week of playoffs or the second or the
first round.
Yeah, round. That first round's harsh, but equally. Then I don't think we'd see anybody on long-term IR miraculously come off right when the playoffs start. Come on.
But the one of the reasons I didn't like the Hurdle trade was that it did have retention and it did take up one of those three retention slots that you can have going forward. And that's one of the weapons, right, that the Sharks could use was weaponizing that cap space. But that was one of the things they were able to do was take a salary and retain some of it and then move that player as well if they wanted to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they no longer have the ability to do that, which takes away one of the weapons that they have to be able to take on a bad contract or to take someone and move it by helping another team out, by retaining some, right? We don't have that extra option anymore, which is one of the things I didn't like. And you're giving me a worried grin.
As of now, we don't have that option.
Okay.
When almost every GM has no space left, guess what the GMs like to do? They get together and meet and they go, we should change the rules. How about we allow, we can flush everyone's dead cap space out and just get rid of it. Or add another space. Or allow a buyout window where nothing is on your cap space. I guarantee you something will happen. When there's enough GMs that are locked and stuck, they change the rules.
I don't think that that's going to happen because it's the San Jose Sharks who are worse than the league. If this was like Toronto, who's a very good team and they needed it to be able to compete.
The Sharks are one team that have them locked up. That doesn't mean they're the only team that's locked up.
I think it'd be bad for the game to keep adding dead space just because we need it. You're going to keep filling it up. So at what point do you stop?
Well, they're going to say, well, it was the pandemic that messed everything up because so
we add a
of the cap space just got flat, so we need to compensate for that.
So we add a fourth dead space, okay? Then a few years later, everybody's filled that up because they would use it, obviously. So then we add a fifth one. Well, and then when does it stop?
No, because then those are going to get flushed out and there'll be less. There'll be more open spots
until
again.
They continue to do it with the next level player, the next player, the next player, right? You're just going to keep filling it up.
I'm telling you, they change the rules all the time. So you can't.
I think three is good.
You can't be tunnel vision on all these rules because they will change.
I think you have to play by the rules.
I'm not saying they're going to change it next year. I'm just saying there is an option. They could do this.
I'm saying I think until they do it, you have to play by the rules, though.
That's fine.
So right now, we're handcuffed.
I'm just not worried.
You cannot use that.
I'm not as worried.
I'm just saying you can't use that.
It's fine.
As a weapon.
I'm not as worried as having those three spaces locked up.
Right.
Burns only has one more year.
Okay.
Next season. After next season,
after
that's
next
gone.
Season. Right. But guess when we could use that the most? While
we don't
still
need it next season.
I'm just saying we could use it the most. No, you. I'm saying you Classic. Take a player. No. You take a player, right? Are you talking about buyout or retention?
Retention.
Yes. So you take a player, you retain, and then you ship that player off to help the other team.
I understand.
And they
what
give
you're
doing. You a pick for that, right?
I understand.
We
what
don't
doing.
Have that ability now because we've used up all those retention slots. I'm just saying the thing I didn't like about the Hurdle trade. That was one of them.
Whatever.
Other than we don't have fun must be always and we can't do the quote anymore.
They got a first round unprotected pick for next season.
Yeah, that's great. And we could get another one if we had another retention slot.
What player could the Sharks trade right now to get a
Matt
first round
pick?
Delusional.
Anybody from another team,
you know,
that wants to go to another team that can't
Gregor
afford it.
If Noah Gregor was still on the team, they could have got a first round
Maybe.
Pick.
Maybe. If you can get a first for Barclay Goodrow. My point is this. What if you're taking a player from Team A, he wants to go to Team B. He has to come through you. You can retain and help them out.
I understand what you're saying.
And then you'd get your pick. That's
what
I'm talking about.
You would get an unprotected first-round draft pick from any team with any other player that could even possibly come into the Sharks and then get shipped out somewhere else. I just don't see it.
I don't see why not.
I've
already done it.
I don't see it. I don't think...
To your point, we already did it.
My whole point is using that slot for Hurdle to get that first round undrafted pick or unprotected pick was the best use of using that slot.
Okay.
I have no problems with them using that slot for
okay.
that. And every time you look at Cap Friendly, it's like, oh.
Hurdle, Burns, Carlson.
It's all lined up right there. That's some good players.
Very good players. And some very bad players like Jones and Balsers that are still on the books for buyouts.
That one got me. Balsers made no sense to me.
Yeah, I think it was just time. And he was just like, yeah, you're not going to work here anymore. See you later.
I guess. I don't know.
Couldn't trade him.
Okay, anything else to talk about? I we were trying to make this a short show. We were trying. I think we failed already. Did you drop the bell? What the heck was that?
Time to dang. There's some really good comments in here.
Okay, yeah, fire away with the comments. Let's
All right, Rob Spiller. Aaron knows what he's talking about.
Nope, not that comment. Nope. Rob, your stock with me just plummeted, buddy.
Debbie. Aaron, you're making a lot of sense.
Oh, stop it.
I think the GMs are going to shapeshift the rules. Should I keep going?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Noah, I'm with Aaron, not as worried. I get the downside, but don't see us realistically attracting a big free agent on the one-year deal to ship out.
It's not a free agent. I'm saying, what if it is? Okay, like Toronto's got tons of players that they can't pay them all anymore. Robertson wants his contract, or he wants to be able to play on the team. He was mad that he got sent down to the AHL.
So he would like Robertson in Toronto.
Toronto,
yeah.
Robertson. Okay. Robertson?
He has a brother in Dallas.
Robertson. Yes, right. So he wants to play with the Leafs. He couldn't play with the Leafs in the last season because everybody came off of IR like they should have. And then he couldn't play with them until playoffs started. Mm-hmm. Now he's playing with them. He was upset about that. So if the Maple Leafs are like, you know what, we like Robertson, we've got another high-profile player that we want to ship out, maybe like Tavares or something like that, where it's like, you know, we got to get rid of this, we want to get a little bit younger, whatever.
Tavares in his pajamas.
We can't do anything about Tavares, so we got to do, who do we go?
Nylander.
Sharks.
Nylander's out.
Can you take him for us, please, so that you can retain and then go to the team that we want to trade him to? That's what I'm getting at. So it doesn't have to be a free agent that you're flipping like that.
I still understand, but I still don't think that there's a player that would be out there to do that.
I'm just saying, it's a one tool in your belt that's no longer
there. Okay, they do that, and Hurdle's still on the team?
I would like Hurdle to be on the team.
Get out of here.
He had. There's no difference between a 30-year-old Hurdle and a 31-year-old Hurdle other than a number.
Grandizer, you could have
done the exact same thing next season.
Grandizer, what about the elephant in the room? What do we do with Kevin LeBanc?
Oh, he's gone.
They already announced, because he's a free agent after this season, they already announced the three of them, Barabanov, LeBanc, and
Hoffman
are not coming back, and they're going into free agency. So we don't have to do anything. They're gone.
Brycar and everybody in the chat, you have to understand something about Aaron and I, okay? We've known each other since kindergarten.
Too long.
Okay? Very very long time, okay? Paul said, like, he needs a nap. You know what, Rob? How did this get flipped on me, man? Everybody hates me now. What's
going
on?
Let's keep it going. It's great.
We've known each other since kindergarten, so this is nothing new. We'll go back and forth every now and then. There's a little bit of devil's advocate, a little bit of back and forth. We don't always agree on everything. For the most part, I think we're like-minded, but this is just one of those things, obviously, the Hurdle trade, that I think there is a better way of going about it.
Nah, he wanted out.
I'm sure he did.
Pearl wanted out.
I'm sure he did, but this is, we have differing opinions, and that's okay.
That's fine.
So
another comment from Rob, I like, with or without Celebrini, the team is primed for greatness. The first round pick will only determine within a year when the Sharks are back as an every year playoff team, and hopefully more. If we get Celebrini, I think this accelerates us a lot.
You think that we're going to be a playoff team the year after we get Celebrini then?
So in two more seasons? I think by the end of those two seasons. Yeah. It's hard to say because I don't know what the free agents look like, right? I don't know who they're bringing in.
Yeah.
If they could bring in some, maybe not this upcoming season, but the one after, if they could bring in some high-end, one or two high-end guys, okay. Maybe a playoff team. If they don't, I think at the end of two more seasons, they are going to be at that bubble playoff picture now.
Yeah.
Kind of like, do you remember the Rangers a couple years ago?
Yeah.
They got Panarin, which was a big deal, and that accelerated them by a good season, maybe even two. Mm-hmm. They also got Lafreniere. They got lucky and won the first overall pick. There's no one. Now, he hasn't panned out as this superstar player yet. He's now starting to show signs at 21. He's still very young.
Yeah.
So they are going to be really good. So I would like to compare the Sharks to the Rangers back when Quinn was coaching.
When Quinn was coaching them.
Like, just kind of hitting that rock bottom, but then getting Panarin.
Yeah.
There could be a free agent like that that joins the Sharks. Who knows? In two seasons. Not this upcoming one, but the one after that. And they get Celebrini.
Yeah.
Now you got a mix of very young guys, and you're going to have some veteran superstar players or all-star players that are joining.
Rob, you couldn't be more wrong again, buddy. Aaron's not right, and we're not bringing back Gregor. But look at Peter St. John too. Gregor. Yeah, I think 2 years, honestly. I think 2 years, and we're knocking on the door for playoffs. Especially if we get Celebrini.
Are we going to come back to the show and replay it in 2 years?
211. Episode 211. This is the one.
A new set by then?
God, I hope
not. It takes
not.
Us about 2 years.
Good Lord.
We already started on the new set.
No, we didn't.
It'll be 2 years from now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. If we start now,
right,
for sure.
Right.
I honestly do think if we land Celebrini, we're looking at 2 years, and we're on the playoff bubble.
Now,
because it's not just Celebrini, right? It's not he's the savior of the franchise. No. Like I alluded to last episode, I was joking, okay? Bry Carr, I know you're going to hold me to that. Rob Spittler, same guy. I think that it has a lot to do with having that talent on the team, yes. But again, if you look at all the other supporting cast that's coming in, with 1 year of development in the NHL, I mean, look how far Eklund came in 1 year of development, right? Truly 1 year, because the nine...
They sent him back to the
In the NHL, though.
Oh.
NHL experience.
Yes.
The 8 games, the 9 games, I'm not counting that. I'm saying the full year of being there, right?
Yeah.
What? Somebody else say I'm wrong about something? What?
Will sets be available for sale in the Fintactor store?
Oh, man.
That's a good one.
That's very good, yeah. Good one, yes, the sets will be available, along with the hats and the shirts and the custom toenail clippers that we have in there. Also, check anything in the store right now, because I might be lying about some of that. I'm sure there.
It'll be a Lego set.
There'll be a Lego set. Fit Factor Lego set.
Lego,
actually,
Lego set.
I would love
a Lego set. Set.
Yeah.
A Lego set. Oh, the set.
Set. Oh, a Lego set of the set.
That's not bad. I like that. I'm gonna get to work on that one. So
you should do it.
It'd be sweet.
You can make this out of Legos.
This is too complicated for me.
This is true.
Anyway. Yeah, I don't know. What else is there to say here, really?
I think
we're looking at playoff bound. Not contenders, but bound.
I'm very interested in comparing the way Chicago did it and San Jose did it.
Yes.
Because they both kind of started at the same time of the deconstruction of their rosters to get to where they are now. They landed Bedard, obviously, but he is alone is not the savior.
Okay. Right here. Chicago won Bedard. They're still bottom two in the league. Buffalo, two good.
Yeah, they got first overall players.
Still not a playoff team. We're still some years away. I agree that those teams are where they're at. Buffalo is a bit of an exception. They stink. Okay?
They just stunk.
But with Chicago, you know, they're coming off of, they won 3 cups in 6 years or five, 6 years, right? They won 3 cups in 6 years and then deconstructed, and now they got Bedard. I'm pretty sure that franchise knows how to rebuild. I know you're saying 2 years is aggressive, but again, if I take a look at the prospects that the Sharks have in the wings, I don't think it's crazy to think that a guy who's crushing it with the London Knights in the OHL, a guy who just went to the Final Four, and it was named the...
Finals.
Yeah, the Finals, right? Another guy, if you draft him, who was one of the best players that there was in college hockey historically, I think if those guys are on the team and you give them a year of experience, I mean, these are not just normal prospects that you get in the second round or whatever. These are high-end guys. If they have a whole year of NHL experience, that's going to go a long way. Again, I look back at where Eklund is at, William Eklund. Where he's at right now. Truly, he's only had 1 year of NHL experience, right? You take a look at how much he's grown. Now, a lot of that has to do with he played with Granlund, who was a great mentor, dad, right? And he played with a guy, Zetterlin, who was revitalizing his career. And I say that just strangely because he's a young dude, but he wasn't doing very good right off the hop, right? Even when he came to the Sharks, he had no goals for 20-something games, whatever it was. And he's jump-started his career as well. So I think there's a lot of really good potential on this team already. With some of the young guys that play there already, and the guys that are coming in, you give them a year of experience. If they can accelerate their game in the same way that William Eklund can, I mean, this is looking like a dangerous team right off the hop. Now, Bedard in Chicago, yeah, they're second to worst. He's been there for a year. He's only been there 1 year. They haven't had a chance to build around him yet. Yeah, they got a generational talent, but this ain't basketball. It's not like you put LeBron James out there and he just dunks over everybody and that's win the game. Congrats, right? It's not like that in hockey. So they still need to build around this guy, but they got him. And that's the main point, is that they got the guy. So now once they build around him, yeah, you're going to start seeing Chicago being better. Will they be better than the Sharks in a quicker timeline? That I don't know, because I don't know what their prospect pool looks like. But if it looks anything like ours, I wouldn't be at all shocked.
Two seasons yes. from now, the free agents that are hitting the market in free agency.
Okay.
How many teams are up against the cap? A lot, right?
Yes.
How many teams are not up against the cap, like the Sharks? Listen to these players that are going to be free agents in two seasons from now.
Okay.
Tavares, Mitch Marner, Jamie Benn, Mikko Rantanen, Sidney Crosby, Crosby. Sorry, I was looking at the next name. Leon Draisaitl. Those are some big, big names. Victor Hedman. I mean, I wouldn't give him big money by then. He'd be 34.
Some of those, I think, like Draisaitl's not going to want to leave McDavid.
Just hold on. Aaron Ekblad, they might not be able to pay him, is my point.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So my point is, these players are still elite players, even in two seasons from now. There's not a team that can afford an $11 million contract.
Okay.
The Sharks are going to be able to afford three $11 million contracts at that point. Short term, sure. But there's going to be, I'm not going to say they're going to get three.
Yeah.
But they can bag at least one big name off of this list.
So your
and a
point,
couple other ones.
Your point is that you think that they can land these guys and we would be playoff bound in two years.
That's my years. Point yeah. is it's not just the young prospects that are
okay.
coming up.
Okay.
It's the mix of that and the free agents that are hitting in two seasons from now. Because a lot of teams are going to be stuck in cap hell and not be able to afford yeah. any of them. Those players are going to want to sign somewhere. Now you look at the San Jose team where, for one, San Jose is a destination with the weather that we have.
Yeah.
And it's California. It's awesome, right? Yeah, that's a big deal for these sure. guys. They live in snow.
You know
for
what's also a big deal is the cost of living, though.
Oh, yeah. They'll be laughing with their $11 million
sure,
well, a year.
Well, they, yeah. yeah, sure, yeah. but...
Who cares? Yeah. They don't care. But looking at the roster, like, they're going to say, wow, this team is legit.
Yeah.
Like, they're up and coming. I could still be top-line producer, and I'll have these young guys mixed in here and be a mentor.
Yeah.
All this stuff, be around where Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau are. Like, a yep. lot of things are going on. In 2 years from now, I think they're going to make a big splash in the free agency market. Who else is coming off the books in 2 years?
Pickles.
Yep.
That's another $7 million.
There's going to be some big signings in two seasons from now.
I would agree with you, except for the fact that those young guys that we're talking about are also going to need to get paid as well. So you can't hamper yourself down with three $11 million contracts. I know you wouldn't.
But not long term.
Yes.
Give them three-year contract for $11 million.
So you said that those teams are going to be stuck, right?
A lot. I'm not saying those teams that they're on, right. but a lot of teams will be stuck.
Right.
They're going to be limited to what teams can yes. afford them.
And you know who else is going to get stuck? Is the people in the chat right now, because they want to agree with you, they want to disagree with me, but we're saying the same thing now. So... You just got done saying it's too aggressive that they're going to be ready in 2 to 3 years, and you cited all these teams, Edmonton and Buffalo and Chicago and everybody else. But now I got him, your savior people, the one that you agree with, is saying the same thing I'm saying now, that they're going to be ready in 2 to 3 years. So I want to hear from you guys. Do you think the Sharks are going to be playoff bound in 2 to 3 years, or do you think that we're both crazy? So please, put that in the comments, and we'll get back to that.
I haven't been paying attention to, sorry.
Oh, he...
Rob Spittler, Aaron Schill for president 2024.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Draisaitl Celebrini.
Well, no, wait a minute. You can't say that. See, I heard a preach Brother Paul in there somewhere.
Oh, I didn't see
oh,
that.
Oh, is it because he's got somehow got retracted?
Okay. Yeah, probably.
See. Yeah, there it is. Preach. Thank you, Rob. I'm Brother Paul now, by the way, just so you know.
Right.
What are the comments? What have we got in there? You said Draisaitl and Celebrini.
No, that would be their 1-2 punch. If they signed Draisaitl and they had Celebrini as their second line center.
You know what? And it's not crazy to think that a high end talent like that as a free agent would want to sign in San Jose. Because, you know, when McDavid jumped into the league, I'm not saying Celebrini is going to be McDavid, but I'm just saying high end young talent like that draws people. And again, Milan Lucic is not on the same level as Draisaitl, but the mentality is the same. The guy wanted to play in Edmonton at the time simply because McDavid was there. He wanted the opportunity to play with somebody who he deemed to be a generational talent. And now Celebrini may not be generational talent, but he might be so good that guys around the league that are free agents might go, you know what? I'd love the opportunity to play with that guy.
Do you know where Dreisaitl's from?
Germany? But I don't know where. Your garden. No. What?
What coaches? That's Sweden. What coaches were we talking about?
Oh, Sturm? No way.
Marco Sturm, did he not coach him on the Olympic team? Did he not coach him for Team Germany?
I don't know. I don't, I guess.
Imagine Marco Sturm is the coach. Would that bring Dreisaitl over? If his national coach is there?
You know what? There's a, there's a little consideration. What's interesting there, though, is that that's one of those things that maybe Mike Greer has to consider when he's pulling a coach
Absolutely.
In. Is who he could bring in because he's got that coach
Mike,
there.
Mike Greer, as I said before, is a man with a plan. Yeah. He does not wing it. He has had this laid out for this is what we need to do to deconstruct. This is how much money we're going to have. We know that all these free agents are coming up in 2 years. We know the cap space is going up. We know we're going to have all this space, and a lot of other teams aren't going to be able to, and they're going to get stuck, and we are going to be able to sign all these players and become competitive the year in, what would that be, 4 years from the job? His fourth year would be the year?
You know what? I like this comment here. This is a good one.
Yes.
Malachi Nunez says, Draisaitl might not want to spend his time in McDavid's shadow. The only counter to that I have is Malkin had no problem being in Crosby's shadow.
He almost left a couple times, and then they paid him.
And, yeah, almost left.
They had to bring the Brinks truck, and they had to keep him.
Well.
So, it's possible.
What are the chances Hurdle comes back to San Jose for real? Probably not, but.
You never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
He liked his time here.
Loved his time here.
So, I mean, I would I welcome him back? Sure. Absolutely, even though he's got, you know, a weird, funny smell now, because...
I still don't think he finishes his career in
Vegas. He probably
smells
like cigarettes right now.
He does not finish his career in Vegas. There's no way.
No, he'll move around.
He'll be
because
traded.
Because they'll trade him without telling him. That's what'll happen.
He'll be too healthy, and they say, you're not hurt enough.
Yeah.
We need you off the books, so we gotta trade you.
I was gonna make a hurt old joke, but that's okay. Don't worry, we're just gonna move on. Free agency, I always see as filling holes or last pieces, not for building a team. You're paying usually top dollar, and you can't build a team that way. I agree. However, again, even if you pay top dollar on this team, there's the cap space. There's a ton of cap space.
Those players are, you can build a team around some of these players. Maybe not build a team around them, but they are really going to help your team.
I think traditionally what he's saying, though, I would agree. Traditionally, you wouldn't build your team around free agency. You would build your team around the draft.
Rantanen and Mitch Marner will be 28 when they hit free agency. Draisaitl will be 29. Those guys are not old. They're not... Tavares would be 34. That's a lot older. Yeah. That's different. But a 28-year-old, you're signing pretty much in their prime. Aaron Ekblad will be 29. Like, come on, man.
I would love Mitch Marner, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of respect for that guy. The way he plays the game.
Oh, wait, that's their age now. Sorry, you've got to add two more years.
He'd be 30. But still, if we're not handing out big, long contracts, that could be a dagger, too, for any of those. And some of these guys, I can go get 6 years with another team, right?
Not for that much money, because there's a lot of teams that can't afford it.
Yeah, maybe.
So they're only going to be able to take what they can get.
Thank you, Rob. See, I'm breaking, I'm chipping away at Rob here.
Pavel Buchnevich. Buchnevich is another guy that I think is a very good player that could be up.
It's also a fun name to say.
Yeah, Mikael Granlund is another one. Maybe we'll see him stick around.
Vegas is headed to cap trouble, so some good players are likely going to have to leave. Yeah, Vegas is already in cap trouble. That's why they keep doing the thing with Mark Stone. But yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of teams that are going to be in a bad position that the Sharks can certainly take advantage of. And again, part of why I would like to have that extra slot. Now, Aaron is saying that the GMs are going to meet and make a fourth slot. So if that's the case, great. But as of now, I don't know. Would like to have the extra slot. That's okay. Just a side note, the Kings Oilers game is about to go to OT.
I love OT hockey. Playoff hockey.
Yeah, it's good.
It's amazing.
The only thing that sucks about it is when it's not your team and you have to watch for like four periods.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, dude, just get it over with, you know?
I started watching the Boston-Toronto game tonight because I think it's hilarious that they play each other almost every single year in the first round.
So he's saying very unlikely they make it a free agency, usually traded before and signed with that team. So traded before, yes. Signed with the team, not always. Sometimes it's just they're there for the 1 year just for the playoff run, and then they go to free agency after that.
But those guys like Tavares, Rantanen, yeah. Marner.
Tavares would not get re-signed.
No, they're not going to trade those guys because they're in the hunt. Like those teams are going to be good in two seasons, so they're not going to be rental players.
Yeah.
So they will hit free agency unless they sign an extension, and then that will be just the biggest story. There's going to be a lot of those. I mean, not all these guys are going to hit free agency. They're going to get re-signed at some point. We'll know better next season because you can sign an extension starting when you have 1 year left on your contract.
I feel like I wouldn't be surprised that, like, Tavares specifically, if he did get traded away to create room to be able to make other signings that you have to make. You have to create the cap space for it. So, yes, he might get traded away, signed by somebody else. I mean, I wouldn't even say signed. Just traded to somebody else, write out that contract, and then go from there. I don't know that that team necessarily re-signs every single time, but...
Ben just said, I'd take Victor Hedman. How old would he be then? He's 34 now, so he'd be 36. 36,
yeah.
Yeah, 2 years at 36.
Sure.
For a guy that has won cups and... Was he the captain?
No. Stamkos was always captain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stamkos is another one this upcoming summer that I believe is a free agent. Can you imagine if they signed Stamkos?
I can imagine signing anybody.
1 year deal, Stamkos. 2 year deal, come in here and we just got Celebrini. Can you lead the way for him?
Yeah. Some guys like that role. Maybe it's him.
I'm finally excited. I don't think there's gonna be any. There's no big splashes this summer, but I think next summer, it's gonna be a good show.
I'll say that
on July 1st.
And I think that's it. Right? Is that it's something to be excited about, other than looking at just what the prospects are doing. Like this last season, we talked about why are we watching this season. Yeah. What's the point? Right? The point is you watch guys that are the younger guys. Coming into their own and becoming NHLers, and on this team, for me specifically, it was Eklund, right? You like Zetterlund, that's great. There's other guys that are in other leagues, you know, Haltonen and Musty, and Musty's absolutely crushing, by the way.
I really think, when I watched him...
50-something games, and he's got like 102 points.
When I watched him at that rookie camp this last summer, he stood out more than anyone else. Like, he did not belong there. It was like a man playing with children, like, just... Get him away, man. He's just dominating everybody. So I thought he would have been closer to make the jump even this season, but I knew the Sharks were going to be garbage and they wouldn't want him to waste a year doing that. So,
sure.
Although he did sign last summer, pretty quickly, I think after the season, or right after he got drafted, I think.
There you go.
Rob Spittler, $10. Thank you, buddy. Love the Fin Factor. Thanks, fellas. Aaron Schill for President 2024. I'm going to go ahead and like that right now. I liked it. I didn't know what that does, but I liked it.
You know what, guys? He just liked your comment. I appreciate you guys reciprocate. Hit the like button if you want Aaron Schill to run President 2024. I don't even have to be his running mate. How about that? You guys might more likes that way, it seems like.
I'll just take assistant GM.
I feel assaulted.
I don't want to be in the president.
In this show.
Assistant GM would be good, too. I think that would be great. I would love to be in the room for a day.
Yeah.
With Mike Greer. That'd be amazing. Awesome.
It would be really, really cool to see like how all that stuff kind of goes down. Yes. I would love to see, especially at like the draft, like what's going on.
Yeah.
The phone calls, the amount of panicking that's going back and forth on who's getting picked
and whatnot. I think to be at that draft table would be awesome.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything else? Paul is pretty great. Oh, thanks. Paul is pretty great, too.
Yeah.
Hit the like button, Aaron. You hit that like button.
I can't. It won't let me.
Hateful.
Yeah. The bell's broken, too. Did you hear that?
Wow. Devereaux, if you're out there. Okay with the bell. God dang. Oh, my God. See, this is, again, you can't get this in the recorded shows.
No.
You got to do the live shows to get this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm having a blast. I'm feeling right assaulted.
Off the rails.
But the thing is with this show, normally we have like an outline.
Yeah,
don't see it.
We had nothing.
So we can't get off the rails because we never had rails in the first place, right? So we were just started the show off the rails. A lot of fun. Appreciate you guys in the chat. It's been great. Sure. I don't know if there's more that you want to talk about. Happily, I will chill here. But I can't help but notice we're almost at the 1 hour mark and Super Producer Jason's broken the bell. So.
Did he?
Do you? There it is. You got a new bell. It works now. There you go. Yeah, are we good? Anything else you want to? Is there any comments that you want to bring up or another topic perhaps? The wheels are coming off the bus, fellas. Yes, Debbie. The wheels, the wheels were never on.
I nominate Paul for CIA director.
CIA? What?
I don't know.
Paul for CIA director. Yeah, sure, why not? Again, not the best way to protect your country or run a hockey team, but when's the next set going to be done? 2 years, we already said it. Yeah, 2 years from now. Because we're going to start planning now. So, 2 years. Yep. There you go.
F considerations. Maybe take some runs at the higher level free agent with signings like Burrows, Benning, even Sturm. Seems like filling holes without drastically improving the team. I think they're going to do, this season, I think they're going to do more of that. More of not big names. There's no big names I don't think that are going to be signed this summer. I think it's going to be more third, fourth line maybe guys or kind of second chance, a little bit more. Nobody talking about this show, but I think last show someone had asked about Zadina. It sounded like they were going to bring Zadina back. Nothing was for certain, but Greer sounded like, and he's an RFA, I believe, so it sounded like they were going to work a deal with him because they liked what he saw, and he specifically talked about him. That's another one I'd like to see. I think he could be a pretty solid third liner.
Sure.
Who definitely has scoring touch. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like the Sharks have finally solidified that third, fourth line, third and fourth lines. Now they just got to work on the first two.
Well, they've solidified the third line for sure. It's just our top line right now. That's the only problem.
Right. Our top line is a really good second line.
We've shuffled everybody up
the lineup. So. Yes. Do you think we go for a high-profile D-man?
Go for it. You talking about as in the draft a high-profile prospect, or are you talking about on the UFA market?
I'm guessing UFA
market. Okay, if he's talking about UFA market, I say yes. And the only reason I say that is because I think that when if you're going to draft a young defensive talent, or even the defensive talents that you already have in the system, which maybe not as many in terms of high profile like we do as forwards, right? Mm-hmm. But certainly like a guy like Mook Madulin, right? Luca Cagnoni.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that's how you say it. Greer brought him up too, saying he had an amazing season, kind of jumped onto the radar, right? So I would love to have a guy on the roster who can act as that veteran presence other than Marc-Edouard Vlasic, who's maybe a little jaded. You know, just kind of, we've seen it in some of the interviews. I think maybe he's kind of...
That's every interview. That's just him.
Well, fair enough. But maybe a better personality then for them to kind of rally around.
You know who he reminds me of?
Oh, boy.
Sutter. He reminds me of Daryl Sutter.
Okay.
Just looks like bitter beer face all the time and angry at the world.
He looks like that Muppet that's the General Eagle one. That's that's the face. That's the face.
Just looks like...
There you go. Yep, thank you.
Give me a good screenshot right there.
Thumbnail.
Yeah, thumbnail right there. I think he reminds me of him, the way he answers questions and stuff. I feel like he's very Daryl Sutter-like.
But I think I'd like to have another higher-end defenseman, somebody who's a veteran, that can kind of be that guy that's on that roster that they can lean on.
And you're talking about this summer.
Sure.
Like...
Because, again, signing. I feel like Mook Madulin's going to make the jump.
Yes.
Okay. Luca, maybe not. Maybe Luca goes to the AHL. I don't know. But, I mean, they're like a couple miles away between Barracuda's TechCU Arena and SAP Center.
I mean, so, here's the top free agents going into this summer that are defensemen. Starting the top, and this is based, it's organized by salary, the amount of salary, not necessarily what they would get. Brent Seabrook, who I think retired. I don't think he's playing. Tyler Myers. Jake Muzzin, interesting.
I thought he's retired too, isn't he?
Oh, is he?
No games played.
Oh, maybe.
Yep.
Brady
Shea.
Mm-hmm.
Skedja.
Alec Martinez, another interesting one, a little older.
Yeah.
TJ Brody, Christopher Tanev, Tyson Berry, Nikita Zaitsev, Philip Hronik, which is actually an RFA.
Okay.
Klingberg. He got hurt. He barely played. Gostisbehere, who is an offensive-minded defenseman, not a solid D man, you know? Yeah. Dumba, Pesky, Brendan Dillon. Dilly?
I would like Tyson Barrie, the guys in that list. Barrie or maybe like Tanev would be good. Like just a two-year deal.
Yeah.
Right?
I'd bring Dillon back. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, Dillon.
Dilly.
He was my favorite guy.
Maybe we get him on the show.
That would be awesome. I would love that. He's a good dude. He's a good really guy. Good dude. But yeah, I think somebody who's got a little bit more veteran presence, and I wouldn't pick Gostisbehere.
There's just not a lot of, at least this summer, there's not a lot of free agents coming up that are really standout top two.
I would go get a free agent defenseman who's a solid defender if they would like to come to the Sharks. And I would have him as like the mentor for the younger guys. Not that like Ferraro needs a mentor necessarily, right? But I mean,
he loved at this point.
Yeah, I know, right? But I mean, he loved working with Brent Burns, and if he could have that kind of relationship again, because I don't think he has that with Pickles or anything, right? I think if anything, he's again, like you said, the guy that's mentoring the younger guys himself.
Well, they're both lefties too, so they wouldn't play together anyway.
Sure. They're not about playing together. I'm just saying having somebody to be that presence. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't mind seeing somebody who's more of a veteran being there. I mean, Burrows is a good one. Don't get me wrong. He's been around the league, right? But I just think having another solid defensive presence back there wouldn't be such a bad thing. And honestly, that's what the Sharks need more than anything else. So if you can get a guy who maybe is a little more veteran that other teams don't necessarily want him, but can still play the game fairly well. Again, for me, Kyle Burrows almost fits that bill, right? Another type like that. I would certainly pick him up and throw him on the roster. I wouldn't have a problem with that at all, assuming that we don't have enough prospects to fill those spots, right? So that's personally what I would do. And then at the draft, again, I do think that the Sharks' blue line prospects is probably the best spot for them to kind of improve. Maybe a goaltender, as was alluded to by Mike Greer, but I would still say the blue line is probably where we could use the most work in terms of gathering prospects.
I'm thinking one of their first round picks is going to be blue line. I mean, if they don't get the first overall, probably a defenseman as a second or third overall. Yeah. And then if they do get Celebrini, I think their second first round pick,
the 14th would be, or whatever it is.
Yeah, the Penguins pick would be a defenseman.
Okay. All right. Is that it now?
Rob just said thanks again for everything, but especially for helping make the last couple of losing seasons so much more entertaining and worthwhile. You guys are the best.
Thanks, Rob.
You didn't have to include this guy.
I was gonna say I feel better now because he says you guys.
You guys. I think he was talking about me and Jason.
Oh, is that what? It's working now. Someone's got to take that bell away from my spread account. All right. That was an interesting episode. Correct again. Get that man a crystal ball. I have a feeling he's got the laptop right here. Okay. I have a feeling Rob Spittler doesn't exist.
That's me.
I think it's just you. Yeah.
It's me. It's my alter ego.
Mm-hmm. I got it figured out. I got it all figured out. No ding for that one, huh? Okay. That's fine. all right. In any case, we're going to go back and review this episode in 2 years and kind of see how they look, I think. What, can we thank the Pens for choking this season? Sure. Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Good Lord.
Thank you, Carlson.
Carlson is just cursed.
I guess.
I feel bad for the guy. He's a phenomenal player. He deserves better.
He needs to be on a team where he's the only offensive threat. Then they do well.
I guess.
Or he does well, I guess.
I don't know. Brightcar says, I always like hanging out with both Aaron and Paul, having a blast. Thanks, Brightcar. Appreciate you, bud. It's comments like these that, again, make it fun. So I'm glad that we're making it entertaining for you guys. Again, as much as we just talk about the Sharks, it's also kind of a therapy thing, not just for us, but for the fan base. So,
mostly us.
It's a little bit for us. So again, thank you guys for being in the chat. I do appreciate you guys. For everybody who helped out with the Super Chat, donating to the show, supporting the show, appreciate that a lot. It does go a long way. Next time around, if you guys want, you go to the store instead, thefinfactor.com. Check out all the merch that we have there. Hats, shirts, sweatshirts. What else do we have there? Water bottles. What?
Sets.
We have sets available for you guys. So
the set.
There's that.
Maybe we should post the
set
up on there.
Somebody did offer something for this set, did they not? I think somebody wanted to buy this set. I think he was talking about it. Could be wrong. Oh, that's a shush thing. In any case, not for sale. So don't go to thefinfactor.com for the set.
Yet.
Peter St. John. Thanks, boys. Okay.
So working on something for the, what is it, the draft lottery.
Yes.
Working on doing a live show where you guys can actually join us live on the set. Not here on the set, but we'll be somewhere else where we can actually fit people and maybe have a microphone so people can join in on real life questions instead of typing it out. Yeah, why not?
Who knows? Super producer Jason is finding out about this right now.
Throwing it from the seat of my pants here, and he is not happy, but it's happening.
I'm promising nothing. This is all Aaron, so if none of this works out, you can blame him, and then we'll be back to square one where I feel better about myself. So there you go.
Go big or go home, all right?
That bell, I swear to God. Okay, guys, I think that's the end of the episode. So we're going to go ahead and end it right here. But again, thank you guys so much for supporting the show. I appreciate you guys in the comments. I appreciate you guys sharing it out to the Sharks friends and family. I appreciate you guys hitting the like button and subscribing, of course. Because again, we might be back on Friday. Who knows, right?
So. Will Smith signing.
Once we hear more, we'll be going live, I'm sure, right away. So you guys that have subscribed are going to know right away when we're going live. If you've not subscribed, I don't know what you're going to do with yourself because you're not going to know when we're jumping in. So that's your decision. Okay, you're going to have to live with that. So I guess that's it. Guys, last time, thanks again for Super Producer Jason. I'm Paul.
And I'm Aaron.
And we will see you guys.
Maybe this week, maybe in 2 weeks. We'll know. Whatever. You'll know.
You'll know
if
you're subscribed. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. If you like this episode, check out our other content, especially interviews. You can interact with us directly through social media at The Fin Factor and on Instagram at Fin Factor. And don't forget to join our live streams on YouTube.
Visit our website at thefinfactor.com, where you'll find all of our episodes as videos or podcasts. You'll also find our exclusive merchandise to help support our show.